Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Shucky dang darn there, folks.
It's Friday!
It's Friday on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Yeah.
We are here, folks. We made it. Congratulations to all of you for getting through this week. Y'all did a great job.
I was on the air more days than I wasn't.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm having a good week. I am tired just because, why I'm tired.
Well, I know exactly why you're tired, which is exactly why I made an endeavor to make sure that I was on as much as I possibly could this week.
So. Yeah, and you played really Superman still, and you got to go to an undisclosed location where some AR-15s or something similar were being fired off.
You know what? It was a story that I have that I can tell to future generations.
That you can.
Not to do.
Folks, you were listening on a civic media station nearest you, either in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM.
Over here in Waukesha on The Shaw 101 FM.
Or up in Wausau, Wisconsin, that's Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM, 1230 AM. Or locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, that's WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with us on this Friday afternoon. We're going to do a rapid fire Friday for some Wisconsin headlines because Brian popped the hood and he's taking a look at what the right wing is doing here in Wisconsin.
Well, they all dump it on a Friday.
Yeah, it's really weird the amount of press releases that you just decided to throw my way. I was like, whoa.
Hang on.
Folks, if you want to share your tangents, 844-967-2789. There we go. We got to get that number out.
844-96-PARTY. Join the political party. It is, Friday. It's time to air your grievances and all that.
I don't know if you're supposed to steal that one, man.
I don't know that. I think they stole it. So I think it's totally
fine. Stealable. Okay, gotcha.
I don't think anyone's going to come after
you. Do you walk into British museums and take the same thing, same approach? You're just like, yeah, you guys stole it, so I can steal it from you.
I do that with just everything. It should be in a museum. Like, if I take something and like, why are you taking that Snickers bar? It should be in a museum.
No, I'm saying
justifies all of it.
The British stole everything.
Yeah, they call it a museum. Yeah, yeah. I get that.
Okay.
Yeah, they stole everything, just like, that's great.
Yeah, took all that beautiful art and artifacts.
They gave it back, though.
Did they?
But they kind of had to.
Yeah, okay.
After World War II. We didn't, though.
Now we're going to get back off of this tangent, because I don't know if this tangent relates to anything we're going to dive into. This is a weird spot to jump off of. But we'll go back to the Rapid Fire Friday. If you want to join the show, 844-967-2789. We are going to be joined by Hawk Sullivan, the proprietor of three fine neighborhood bars here in Madison. Hawk's going to be telling us the thoughts of a bartender coming up at the bottom of the hour. So if you want to share your tangents before Hawk gets here, or you can call in while Hawk's here as well. 844-967-2789.
Yeah, he's a friendly sort.
2789. Yeah, he is friendly.
So basically, in our prep for the show and in what we do every day, I get in the habit of looking at, the headlines. And I always check out the WIS Politics press releases because
without fail, Brian Kelly is in that WIS Politics press releases tab.
The reason why is because everybody there wants to talk to you. And if you're looking for a guest or maybe someone wants to say something or there's a, blah, blah, blah is announcing blah, blah, blah. Oh, my goodness. We got to get blah, blah, blah on. That's usually the good place to go
on. That's true. Yeah.
But it also is like it's a decent pulse for kind of like it's like a message board. It's almost like a postings thing for the state politics around the state. Like
right.
When we released, we're going to go and become a radio station, we sent them to WIS Politics and our press release went out there, so you can kind of run down the list and see get the temperature. And so I was intrigued today because I went down a rabbit hole and I said, okay, the GOP's got a lot of stuff here, because normally they have one thing or like one stupid message they have to see. But apparently the student loan thing has just sent them all a flutter, and they can't they don't know what to do, so they're just saying a bunch of stuff.
One thing on the student loan thing before we dive down this rabbit hole of all of the fun press releases that you shared with me. Have you seen the White House's Twitter account?
Oh, it's golden.
It's I don't want to say anything else other than chef's kiss. Like, that's all I want to say. Like, if you haven't seen it already, go find it out for yourself.
We got to tell them. I mean, not everybody here, a lot of our listeners don't, you know.
Okay.
They're not,
all right. I didn't want to take up the airtime
on Twitter or Facebook
release.
And things. And part of it, don't worry about it. It's just the GOP stupid press releases. Oh, my goodness. Oh, crazy. The GOP said something stupid. We're going to have fun with it, folks. You got to know what they're saying, because they're putting this message out there. And it's
that's true.
It's just really, but it's tiring, but you have to know what the actual truth is and what they're actually saying. Like, we'll get into
and,
it. But
and
please
correct
tell me,
Brian, correct me if I'm wrong. You're from, where are you originally from?
I was born in Hawaii.
Born in Hawaii.
Moved to Rochester, New York. Then I lived in Long Island for a little bit. Then I lived in New Hampshire for 7 years. Then I lived in Michigan.
So never, okay, hang on. You already went past where I needed to go.
Sorry.
Okay, so. New Jersey adjacent, not ever New Jersey resident though.
Yeah, I was underage at the time, so they didn't really matter. My mom's from New Jersey.
Gotcha. Okay, I was gonna say I thought there was a New Jersey connection there in your family.
Yeah, for sure. Me and New Jersey are really my whole family's, my mom's side of the family's from there. My grandpa went to Princeton, College Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Entire family looks like linemen.
There's five girls and three boys that my grandparents had, and the five girls, I can tell you who play center, guard, and tackle.
There you go.
They are formidable women, and yes. I love them all.
Yes. And so I knew you had the New Jersey connection, and do you recall a few years back, there was somebody running the New Jersey Twitter account that was great. Like, there was just a lot of clapbacks. Very very similar to like how Wendy's
account is amazing.
Yes. And so New Jersey kind of took a similar approach to that. It's like literally NJGov, I think, is like the Twitter handle. And they were fantastic. And it was really excellent social media messaging being put out by that account.
Yeah.
Well, the same woman that was running that account now is platforms director, I believe, for the White House. And this is a new recent change.
That's great.
And so she is now running some of the social media strategy for the White House, which is why you've seen in the last 48 hours, since all of these Republicans have been bemoaning the Biden administration's action on student loan forgiveness, she has... And the White House account has been just, and I don't know if it's her specifically, but she's now helping and in charge of the strategy, is going to every single social media account of a Republican that is complaining about the executive action and saying, is this you? Question mark. And then screenshotting the PPP loan forgiveness that specific congressman or woman was received during the pandemic. While they're still complaining about $10,000 for a recipient. Some of these people had millions of dollars forgiven on the PPP loan, which is terrific because if it kept people employed throughout the pandemic, that's what it was supposed to do. And so if it did its job, great job. But you shouldn't be going out there and complaining about like some student loan borrowers receiving some support. Like, it's not everybody. He didn't just erase all the debt out there, Brian. He took a nominal step in addressing this problem, and they're acting like their hair is on fire, and they're running around, which is why we don't have a coherent message coming out of Wisconsin's GOP elected officials and would-be elected officials.
Yeah, that was great. They just roll down.
Like, every...
Rolling down the White House. Marjorie Taylor Greene, $183,000. Vern Buchanan, $2.3 million. Congressman Kevin Hearn, $1 million. Mike Kelly, almost $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gaetz, almost $500,000 in PPP loans forgiven. It's amazing.
It's amazing, and they're essentially just sharing the receipts.
Yeah,
it's known as.
Because this is the thing. They are. If I were a traditional Republican voter, sane, but Republican, right?
Yes,
I would be.
Yes.
These people are holding you in, like, they just hold you in contempt. They just think that you're too dumb to know what the actual facts are. They don't even bother. Like, this is easy to check.
Easy.
You can just look it up. But people like Marjorie Taylor Greene assume that you're as dumb as they are. I don't know what else
to, or as dumb as they portray themselves to be. Yes,
that's true.
Yeah. So here's it's a very interesting
segues nicely right here because they start off they're attacking Mandela Barnes.
Attack on Mandela Barnes? Which one are we? Because you sent me a couple.
There's a couple here. That's right. The scary Mandela Barnes. Support from radical socialist groups. Wow.
WIST GOP is going to attempt to brand Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes as this radical socialist, because that's what that is the first play in the GOP's playbook, regardless of where you are.
If you ask them, if you're not Bernie Sanders, radical socialist.
No. They're scary buzzwords that they use. And if you're talking about Bernie Sanders or you're talking about Joe Biden, it's a radical socialist.
Oh,
no matter
the squad
what.
Too. If you're part of the squad, then they'll definitely lump you in.
Joe Crowley, who got defeated by AOC when she first ran in her primary in the primary and won and became a congresswoman.
Number three Democrat at the time.
They would have called him a radical socialist if they thought that it would bring them political gain.
Yeah,
they
none
will
of it
call
has
anybody
any
that.
Actual okay, we have about a minute and a half left,
yes.
And I gotta leave.
I didn't want to hit all the points in this one anyway. So
start with one, pick one, and just go like what kind of ridiculousness it is.
The Working Families Party advocates for abolishing the filibuster and expanding the Supreme Court. They also support socialist policies like nationalizing banks, corporations receiving bailouts, and oil companies.
Oh.
So like when the big banks failed and the federal government had to pull them out. The working fam. Okay, so you're against working families, Wisconsin GOP.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Okay.
You got
all
next
of the
one?
Groups either support either defunding or disbanding police departments and abolishing ICE. Color of Change went as far as to say to call policing a violent institution that must end. Oh my goodness. What radical craziness! Peace Action, where Barnes is a member, is a strong defender of Iran. You know the country we changed their entire regime and then has been screwed since. Their threats against Israel and an organized protest of the local Jewish community. I don't know that you have put anything in context here.
No, I think they're just throwing out scary buzzwords.
The socialist groups that have endorsed Barnes, none of these are socialist groups.
No. They just want everything to be socialist besides the PPP loans that were forgiven by their members of Congress. Folks,
oh, and the police and the fire.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian.
Hey, buddy.
We're doing a rapid fire through some Wisconsin headlines because we got a lot of press releases that we're going to get through.
Yeah.
Because the GOP is a little bit scrambling. They don't know exactly what messaging to take because it sounds like it was an effective week for... we keep racking up these really good weeks for the president. Like, I don't know if you saw this too, Brian, but I believe he received a 6-point bump in the most recent Gallup polling.
Oh.
44% back to some of the highest polling that he's received in the term, higher than Obama, Reagan, and Clinton were, I believe, at this point of their presidencies for Gallup's poll.
You want to call it radical socialist, I want to call it really popular amongst the people, because apparently that's what everybody seems to like to do. Because, again, you know, this, oh my goodness, Color of Change supports critical race theory. Oh my goodness, should we be teaching our own history in schools? What a radical thought. How dare we?
Yeah.
And none of these are like, this is what we should do instead, or no, it's just fear-mongering.
Ron Johnson is what they want you to do instead, because that's what they believe is good for them and their corporate donors and special interests.
Not all of them even bother writing more than a sentence or two. Mm-hmm. A couple of them just have not even a sentence, just a sentence fragment with bullet points. This is from the NRSC,
National Republican Senate.
It doesn't freaking matter. They're just another group of bunch of whining little right wing babies.
Yeah, but it's important to point out who.
But they're good at coming up with phrases, because rather than actually finding anything hard hitting or actually substantive to go after someone about, they say things like "Badger State under the Barnes Brigade Part 10, influenced by radicals." The Barnes Brigade. It's the Barnes Brigade. What makes them the Barnes Brigade?
Make
I don't know.
Hey.
They're radical socialists. Okay, what does a radical socialist mean?
Barnes Brigade sounds cool. Just like a Mandela Barnes barn. Like, yeah. The Barnes Brigade sounds cool. Like, I don't know how that sounds scary, but okay. But this one, you're right, is weird.
It's just the weirdest, stupid bunch of, like, I can't take them seriously as people at all otherwise. Socialist buddies. Elizabeth Warren. AOC. Ilhan Omar. Ruben Gallego. That's it. That's all they put.
But they put a link to it, so you can go.
There's links to go and see them.
The next bullet point, Brian. Democracy Partners hosted a fundraiser. Oh no! Partners in Democracy hosted. Fundraiser?
Somebody hosted a fundraiser for a political campaign.
Breaking news! Stop the presses! We need to get this out to the people right away.
What a radical socialist that is! Oh, here's the longest one. Lauren Windsor, a liberal activist who does her own gotcha videos targeting Republicans, was also a fundraiser host. How many freaking fundraisers have actual Proud Boys in them nowadays for the radical Republicans?
They're skipping the fundraisers. They're going right to running for the offices themselves.
Oh, that's right. But it's the people who want to teach things in schools. Those are the radicals, not the idiots with the guns.
This next one's almost the best one, too, though. I don't know which one's the best. Barnes headlines an event for Center for Popular Democracy, which also endorsed him.
He headlined an event for a Center for Popular Democracy that endorsed him. Doesn't explain any of this.
It's so radical.
Here's a statement from lazy-ass NRSC spokesperson Lizzie Litzau, who can't be bothered to write more than, I don't even think this is more than two or three sentences. Up to this point, Mandela Barnes has been influenced by radicals, and we don't see that ending anytime soon. Wisconsinites need someone who will fight for their values and needs, not the needs and agenda of the radicals in Washington. The Badger State doesn't look promising under the Barnes Brigade.
Under the Evers-Barnes administration, unemployment is at the lowest that it's ever been. And
what
there's
specifically
more labor,
does that say, though?
There's more labor force participation than ever before. I don't understand.
None of it actually says anything.
No,
they didn't even bother to try and make anything up. This is the laziest bunch of crap I've ever seen.
It's comical. We have to laugh at it because it is.
Scott Walker or one of his kids must have hired this person, because anybody else who hired this person and let this person release this would not have let this. Like, even Shea Sortwell, who's an idiot too, would not have let this go on.
Rick Scott, I believe, is running that committee. So Rick Scott's pretty bad.
Makes sense. He's really good at putting out talking points that aren't full sentences.
Right. He's complaining about the student debt relief while on a yacht in Italy this week.
Grothman had something to say about Fauci. Grothman, the epitome of health, says something about Fauci and how it's so dumb that he said some things that were different. I don't understand
science. Actually put some sentences together.
Some sentences together, but most of it is like, I don't understand science. I'm probably too fat to really care anyway.
But the last one is, no matter
what anybody says about health, I'm not going to follow it anyway because I'm Glenn Grothman.
Well, the last sentence of the press release here is the one that's upsetting, because he puts this point out there acting like it's Fauci's fault. Dr. Fauci's legacy will be the erosion of the American public's confidence and trust in our public health institutions.
He literally just
the
just
Republican
threw doubt
Party
into all of it. That's all they did was throw doubt into all of it. What a bunch of, oh my God, how do you vote for these people and go, "Yeah, that's my guy." Oh, I can't wait. Here's Shea Sortwell complaining about the governor, the absentee governor. Who hasn't freaking reported for work since March.
Yep, this one set me off. This one's not funny. This one, I mean, I'm laughing a little bit
since March.
Yeah.
He hasn't shown up for work, and the governor has literally gone into work to beg him to show up, and they said no. And he has the nerve to go and say absentee? F you, Shea Sortwell. Seriously, you like Dom started talking to him, and all he could do is repeat, because he's
I know you are, but what am I?
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, that's all.
And then finally, the Van Orden campaign wants to celebrate That he has no idea what the student loan thing does.
No.
Also, he's celebrating that 27% of residents, less than 27% of his third district, hold a bachelor's degree or higher, which is fine, but he doesn't take into account that, you know, some of them might have kids that have student loans, or some of them may not have finished school, but they still have student loans.
Yep.
And, doesn't even take into account that anything reality happens. But then again, it's the same guy who went down to the insurrection and said, hey, that's a good thing. I think I should run for office to this government that I just tried to overthrow.
I mean, I would tell him to look up what an associate's degree was, but when he goes to the public library to look things up, he picks fights with teenage girls over LGBTQ plus novels rather than actually trying to educate himself in said public library.
What solid, wonderful people representing you, Republicans. Great job.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents.
For wanting people to learn stuff.
This is Dueling Tangents. We're going to be joined by Hawk Sullivan coming up, taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Coming in off the one of the tracks off of Slow Hand by Eric Clapton.
There we go. Why is that?
We got our buddy Hawk Sullivan in the studio. He's got a tattoo on his hand. Is that your right hand?
Yeah, my right hand. We saw a guy who did a video with the Slow Hand song. And then he, you know, does that, and then he puts his fingers up. And my wife joked that it'd be funny. I should get that. She's like, you should get that tattooed on your hand. I'm like, that would be funny. And then I did it, and it is funny.
There you go.
I mean, it's funny, you know, like.
I can't imagine just getting a tattoo off of a joke.
On
a whim like that.
Yeah.
I think the level of correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the level of import on tattoos goes down with every tattoo you have. Like the first one, you're like, I really mean something, or it's just a sun, you know, something like that.
No, you're right. Most people really think desperately about their first tattoo and the importance of it. And you know, I don't think every tattoo on your body should be, you know, stupid tattoos or really important tattoos. Frankly, there should probably be a mix.
I think the best are a mix.
Yeah, I think so too. But they are a little addicting though. Like once you get one or two, it's like,
and once you get a good artist too.
Yeah, once you get a good artist, and yeah, they can get expensive, but my wife actually gets, like, she has a lot of tattoos, and older ladies will come up to her and say, you know, those are really pretty. And my wife's like, you should get them. And I think that older generation, it's just so mainstream now, right? Honestly, like everybody has tattoos, right? And so, but I think that older generation kind of is bummed that they didn't get them. You know, like they're like, I kind of wanted one, but it was very risque back then. And so if you're thinking out there to get a tattoo, go get a tattoo.
Now's the time.
And yeah.
Then, you know, you'll be identifiable if your head gets blown off.
That's yes. An important thing. Yeah. Don't Jesus get a tattoo Christ. And then do crimes, by the way. Yeah. Like, yeah, they're yeah, always yeah. like.
Yeah. Well, I can't do crimes anyway. I'm 6'5", 340.
Yeah. You're not a good like guy.
Well, it's the other guy.
Like 10 years ago, there was like a string of bar kind of, not robberies, but bar thefts or robberies. And
was it like order a bunch and then walk out type of stuff?
No, they were like literally like legit like robbing the place, right?
Oh, okay.
And there was these two guys, and one guy was like the size of you, right? Like this big white guy. And the other guy was like this kind of small black guy. And it was kind of like, dude, you guys are really easy to spot. You know, like they got caught really quick, by the way. It was
did they play Scooby-Doo music when they snuck away?
Yeah, like it was so bad. It was like, you guys are totally. It was funny. It didn't last long.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We are joined in studio here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Hawk Sullivan, owner and proprietor of three fine neighborhood bars. And, yeah, Hawk, how's we're going to do a segment. Yeah. We want to call this, are we just asking the bartender, or are we talking to the bartender? What do we want to call these segments?
Well, I said, you know, originally like ask the bartender. It's funny because I know Brian's been around the business a lot too, so he would probably.
Sometimes, yeah. But I'm not, see, I did everything but own a bar, so, or cook.
Or ask the bar owner. I know, listen, I think there are some stigmas of what happens, you know, and I think that there is some misinformation and maybe people have different thoughts about what we do. And I don't speak for all bar owners, frankly. But
you are a bar owner and you can ask or you can answer questions.
I can answer some questions that if people were curious about what, you know, goes on in the business. And so I'll give you one example. I don't think people realize that, like, so if I buy a brand name vodka, for instance, I have to buy it from a particular distributor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no one else I can buy it from. You know, like, yeah. So Absolut, for instance, or something. You know, I have to buy it from a particular person. Which is weird, right? Like,
there's no competition.
There's
amongst
no competition among
brands.
Name brand stuff. Now, my rail stuff, you know, like my crappy liquor, you know, on my rail. Okay,
anybody can sell you that.
Anybody can sell rail liquor, right? And frankly, at that point, I just buy the cheapest. I'm like, give me the cheapest vodka you have, because frankly, the difference between cheap and cheapest vodka, they all taste really horrible.
Pretty much. And as a former distributor as well, I was a sales guy. A lot of times, if you can offer the cheapest vodka, you can get in on the ground floor.
Yes, exactly, Brian. You're right.
Then they already have a thing going.
Totally, so. Because that stuff you want to get, you know. I mean, frankly, though, you don't make a lot. We don't make a lot of money on rail liquor, you know. So there's a whole thing in the industry where you want to be at a certain percentage, just cost a good percentage. And the joke a long time ago was that, you know, you want to be on 30% cost of goods, you know, like 30% cost of goods. So if it costs you $1 to buy the bottle of beer, you sell it for $3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the difference is this. When you get higher end liquor, right, so you buy the $6 drink instead of the $4 drink, yes, the cost of good went up. It was a higher percentage, but you get a higher dollar amount too, right? So yeah. You're taking $3 to the bank instead of $2.50, right?
Yeah.
So the joke is you don't take percentages to the bank. You know, you take dollars
right.
to the bank.
You take what you're actually charging. Yeah.
Like Late 12, for instance, their cost of goods is like 50%, you know, like on food, which is insane, right? It's super high. Yeah, but they're charging $120, right? So like they're making $60 a meal instead of it. You know, Burger King is, you know, 20% cost of goods, but they're making $1, right?
But yeah. They're making it up on volume.
So yeah, volume, right, volume. Yeah. So anyway, I think there's some misconceptions out there about what we do. I know stuff like Tavern League comes up, and I know they've come up recently, and the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. I have never been a part of the Tavern League.
Yeah.
Ever.
And that's the lobbyist group for bar owners.
Bars and restaurants in Wisconsin. Because I understand that they are a fairly right, kind of right-wing organization. They don't lobby for my morals, you know, as a bar owner. They lobby for other stuff that I don't agree with.
But I feel like their group is different than a conglomerate. Take like a conglomerate like a Main Street Alliance. They seem to fight for things that are for the small business owner, you know, that type of thing. Whereas like the Tavern League seems to like kind of, I don't know, generalize. I feel like it's top end loaded. Like if you have a like 15 bars, they probably listen to you more than if you're just some dude that's one bar. You know,
I don't belong to them, and I don't want to belong to them. I know that they long time ago they lobbied to make it so that it cost $10,000 to get a liquor license in Wisconsin. Okay, right now, if you want to get a liquor license in Wisconsin, it costs you $10,000 up front. Okay,
what?
Oh yeah, hold on. Let me explain. Because what happened was that all the little podunk bars in Wisconsin, the Tavern League was like, let's make all these guys kind of get rid of competition, right? So if you want to open up a bar in the middle of Cornfield next to Joe's bar, it's going to cost you $10,000, okay, to get the liquor license. Now, in the city of Madison, returns you, they give back to you a quote-unquote grant of 9,000, whatever the difference is between a regular liquor license, right? Like your a liquor license costs like $1,000 a year, okay?
Yeah.
So the city of Madison returns you, so you got to pay them $10,000. You got to cut a check for $10,000, but then 4 to 6 weeks later, you get a check in the mail for the difference as a quote unquote grant. Now the state of Wisconsin sued the city of Madison because of this, right? Because the city of Madison's like that's a horrible law, right?
It's a terrible law.
It's a terrible thing. $10,000. It's anti-capitalistic. It actually hurts.
That's a regulation, folks. If you're a conservative listener and you're not a big fan of regulations, the Tavern League of Wisconsin apparently has a pretty big one.
They added a $10,000 fee for someone who just wants to open a bar, right? Okay, so they lost though. Wisconsin lost when they sued the city of Madison. So it's by the way, the law is still there. There are certain cities across the state that's you don't get the money back. It's $10,000 for you.
That's how much it costs.
Yeah.
So now, crazy. lest we think this is some sort of just crazy Republican thing. It's more of a power thing, because I'm from, you know, I lived in Chicago. That's where most of my bartending stuff was. A little bit in L.A. too, but in Chicago they have 2 o'clock licenses. They have licenses with food. They have licenses without food, and they also have licenses till 4 a.m. Yep. 5 o'clock on Saturday nights. Right. They will not issue any new 4 o'clock licenses. Every single one of them has to be sold with the establishment. On top of that, I don't know if it has the same thing in Wisconsin. If, let's say, you get a strike against you, there's a three-strike policy.
Come with it in Chicago.
The strike. Let's say you get caught serving someone underage, and you're prosecuted. It's on the books, and it's on your license now. Your license just took a strike hit. And basically just got a third of its value because once you get 3 strikes, that license doesn't exist ever again.
Correct.
No one else can get it.
In that location, in that space. Now, in Madison, that's not the case.
Okay.
In Madison, there's no strike system. A long time ago, there was this myth that if you call the cops, they would keep track of that, blah, blah, blah. That is not true at all. Matter of fact, it might have been true 15, 20 years ago that cops would kind of be annoyed by you calling them for stuff that maybe you should handle, you know? But in the last 10, 15 years, though, they really have turned and said, we really want you to call us when you're having issues because we can kind of help stop it before it. So there's a myth out there right now in Madison that, like, oh, the more you call the cops, you know, well, I would say this. If you're having issues at your bar regularly, that's the issue, right? Like, so the city will look at it and be like, hey, you're having issues at your bar, and this is an issue, right?
Yeah.
And the cop calls, yes, I guess they play into that, right? But they will actually, the city of Madison, if they find out you're having issues and aren't calling the cops,
and they're
they will
upset
have
too.
Even more upset, right? And the ALRC is kind of a, you know, they could be kind of a scary organization. You know, they're the ones that control your liquor license. But as long as you're trying, honestly, and making efforts and being proactive with, if you're having issues at your bar, for instance, you call the police, you have a meeting, and you're being proactive, they make notes of that, and they keep that in there, you know, like.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yes, Brian's right. And down in Miami, Brian, down in Miami, if you want to buy a liquor license in Miami, $100,000.
Jeez.
And there's a
that
wait
sounds
list.
About right, though.
There's a wait list of like 250 people. Now, so same thing. So in Middleton and Wanakee, for instance, they have a limit on licenses right now. So right now you got to get on a wait list. And what happens is that causes the crappy bars that are already there.
Yeah.
No offense to Middleton and Wanakee. I'm just naming them. But small towns that have limits on their liquor licenses, the people that own their liquor licenses have a monopoly on them.
Yeah.
And like a piece of crap place that's badly run and gross sits there on this license and is like, this thing is worth a lot of money, you know, like. So,
this is something that other people can't get right now.
Right. Like, if you're a good operator and you want to go to Wanakee or Middleton and open a place,
you can't
get on a wait list, right? And just wait for the crappy operators to, I don't know, you know.
Vacate, yeah.
Anyway.
No, it's an interesting dynamic. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We got Hawk Sullivan, proprietor of 3 neighborhood bars. He's got Hawks on State Street, Hawks Bar and Grill, the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road, and the Atomic Koi in Fitchburg. And we're asking him some questions about the... go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I want to loop back to the beginning of this segment. We were talking about, you know, if you buy Absolute, you can only buy it from one distributor. And we were talking about how you have a monopoly on liquor licenses over here, and you have a monopoly on who can sell what to whom in this part. It feels like... I want to ask you where this came from, because I don't know where this originated. It seems like a leftover from basically mob bootlegging, and
so
then
it's funny
they were
you
like,
say that, Brian.
The families decided these
so
are the ones
funny,
you can
it's
sell.
Funny you say that, and here's the history of liquor distributors across the country. So for people who don't know this, but back a long time ago when there was like prohibition and stuff, there were a lot of immigrant families that owned, you know, bootlegging and stuff like that, right? And, you know, they had infrastructure built in. They had trucks, they had warehouses and stuff. And so after Prohibition, you know, was gone, these immigrants were like, oh, we can make money legally doing all this, you know, like, and so they, so
if there's a whole industry here,
a whole industry, right? So across the country, so Madison, for instance, there's, you know, there's a handful of distributors in Madison for beer and liquor, right? And half of them are owned, they come from families, immigrant families, you know, and like, it's not unusual across the country. Yeah. A lot of liquor wholesalers are owned by immigrant, you know, the history, they were probably bootleggers at one point in time. Their grandpas were probably bootleggers, you know, but the infrastructure was already there. So, it trickled down into quote unquote mob. Yeah, you're not wrong, right?
if they knew how to run their business right, it doesn't matter if it was legal or not. I that also kind of answers the question, you know, when weed was legalized in Illinois, there's only three sources you could get your stuff from in Illinois. Pretty much.
Same
already.
Thing.
Oh my God. Evan's playing my phone.
That's Brian. Evan. Folks, you're listening.
Brian's playing my phone.
Folks,
ringer.
You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got Hawk Sullivan in studio. One more segment left of the day. We'll be right back.
Michael. Michael. Michael, your zipper is down. Folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. This was my ringtone for a really long time.
I'm so old.
Dude, it works. I can grow a hell of a mustache, and since I'm a large guy, it's all Hawaiian shirts for me, and I was born in Hawaii, so me and Magnum, we're pretty close.
It just checks out. It's all
when you
part
think
of
about
Brian's
that
attitude.
That show was like really funny, right? Like the concept of that show is totally bizarre, right? Like,
oh yeah.
You know?
It took me a second to realize it was the Magnum PI.
That's all right. I'm amazed that you even know it. I mean,
only from the other references that you said all after it did I. Right. I was like, oh, okay, that's what theme song. I knew it was a sitcom theme song.
You can't be older than you are.
I can't do anything about that.
I'm excited that you know.
Brian is teaching the young Luke-san. Luke-san, you learn the new ways of the old culture of
what was that? That was pop, 80s. That was 80s culture, pop culture. Yeah. Right?
I am the senpai. I'm the older man. You're the count. You're the kohai. The younger man.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
that's a that's Rising Sun reference. A good old Michael Crichton book.
There you go.
Relax, Higgins.
It's totally fine.
Oh my God, that was Saturday night. It was Fantasy Island, a Love Boat, and Fantasy Island was Saturday night.
Yeah.
The plane, boss. Oh my God, that's probably bad that I said it like that now.
Brian's gonna pull it.
Probably, but you know,
that's not good.
It's her villages.
The plane.
Oh yeah, God, just like that, he got it. That's
yeah.
He's fast.
It's a little freaky how fast you're able to find.
If I have it already,
I was gonna say it's very quick. He's got a very extensive library, and I'm now doing a little production work for Pat Kreitlow in the mornings, and I can somewhat do, not as quickly as Brian, but I can get the references
there.
Pretty quick.
It's awesome.
And Pat kind of gets caught off guard sometimes when I do those. And I'm like, well, I've got one man to blame for it. I mean, to thank for it. It's one Brian Kelly.
I appreciate them, by the way, when I'm listening on the radio. I don't know if all your listeners appreciate them, but I mean, I don't think you have a lot of 20-year-old listeners. So I think that like a lot of your listeners definitely get the references and understand
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Yeah, see? Oh my God.
And by the way, the last couple of weeks it's been Evan. It's been all Evan. He's been
terrific.
Yeah, Evan has, I don't know if Evan started out that way, but Evan really had taken Brian's and just kind of roll with it. And I think Evan's rivalry
he's here.
You,
Look, yeah,
by the way. He's getting awfully close to your status.
I like it.
Ooh, I don't know, man. I don't know.
He's like, man, no pressure. No pressure.
I'm looking forward to it, and when I'm driving around, gallivanting around, I'm really enjoying listening. So it's fun. A lesser person would go, no, you can't take my thing. But for me, I think it's great, and I love it.
Brian, I don't know if it's your thing, but I mean, you know,
it really isn't. Cool. It's not. Totally not.
But for people this network this of stations,
since,
this is
since
Brian's
you can do
thing.
The radio voice. Everybody's been doing an impression or some sort of fart noise.
Hey, I'm gonna go off topic because that's what you guys.
That's
do
what
here.
We do.
So one
we
thing
were on
I want. I'm gonna put one plug in and plead to your listeners. Okay. So we have a couple months to, if you can't donate money, okay, which a lot of people can't, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised $10, $20 actually does help. People go, oh, I only got $10. Trust me, $10 adds up, okay? But if you cannot donate to Mandela or to Tony Evers' campaign, okay, please, for the love of God, please volunteer, okay? You don't have to, like, door knock. They will have whatever job you want to do, okay? Leaflet, whatever. You can text message, okay? Please, for the next 3 months, an hour a week. 1 hour a week, man. You know, like, you know, when I donate money, I think to myself, if this person wins, not only will we be morally, you know, back to some sort of relevance of, you know, like, oh my God, we're mad. But I also think, for me, it's a worthy investment. Like monetarily speaking, you know, the average person, if we can control the Senate and we can control Wisconsin, the average person will reap the dollar benefit. Frankly, they will reap the money benefits. You know, like, you will see, if you're an average person in Wisconsin, you will see the benefits if Evers stays here and if we can keep the Senate and maybe expand the Senate. Easily, you will reap the benefits, you know. So I'm just pleading with people, just 1 hour a week, man. You know, 1 hour a week if you can't do it. Both those campaigns really need it badly, so.
And on top of that, I guarantee you will feel 1,000 times better afterwards.
Yes.
It's one thing to sit here and go, man, these Republicans are crazy, or oh my goodness, I hope they win, or talking to a friend about having someone win. But actually feeling like you went out and did something. I know that I was talking to Luke earlier this week. I was feeling down in general, just, you know, a lot of stress, all this other stuff. But doing the show this week, coming back to the show for a little bit, doing a little bit more of the show, just knowing that I'm doing something and actually voicing something out there. And, you know, not that I'm not doing anything. I'm working my ass off otherwise.
Right.
My point is that actually feeling like I'm moving the needle a little bit, or even just like pushing the envelope just a touch, or even contributing to the larger cause at the end of it, makes you feel, like, personally, just better.
Yeah. If if it's a close race and we barely lose, right? If we just barely lose by a little bit, and you didn't, like, you know, just volunteer an hour, like, if you're like, oh, I was really busy. I know we're all really busy. I get it, by the way. I mean, I'm not, you know, like, you're a single parent, whatever. I get it, by the way. But if it's close and we lose, that's when you start to regret not giving a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
Like, just volunteering a little more, you know, like. We really gotta. I mean, these two races are huge. You know.
Yeah. The consequences of both who is in the governor's mansion for the next 4 years and who is going to represent the state in the Senate for the next six is huge.
It's huge.
And I just want to end the show because we only got a couple minutes left here. This is, Brian, something that we're not going to see in press releases, but it's breaking since we've been on the air.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be one of those things that the GOP, I think, wants to go out a little bit more in a whimper than letting people know through a press release. But Patrick Marley over at the now Washington Post, previously of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, tweeted out a screenshot that there is a notice of withdrawal of subpoena to Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway by counsel. The undersigned hereby give notice that the attached subpoena is withdrawn and all obligations for compliance are terminated, dated today, August 25th. And that's signed by one Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. His assembly's chief clerk. So they are quietly withdrawing their subpoenas of the Office of Special Counsel that Voss fired Michael Gableman.
$1 million. Well, yep. Spent, Wisconsin Republicans. You know, like, good job, conservative. People talk about, oh, we're conservative with money. No, you're not. No, you're absolutely not conservative with money. Give me a break, man. Man.
And so it's going to end, the show will end where we started with the rapid fire. It's not going to be a press release coming out there.
I got their press release. They like to say about the Michael Gamel investigation.
Oh, my God. You're right. It's so disgusting.
So we lit that $1.25 and growing $1 million on fire. That's essentially what happened.
Again, you spend $1 million, call it legal fees. I'm pissed off the guy got $11,000 to do nothing.
A month. $11,000 a month.
I got to get that job, man.
Yeah.
Seriously, I got to get one of these jobs, right?
I don't know if Voss is going to give it to
what
you.
What are we doing? I could, to be easy, are you kidding? Look at these guys. Look at the Republicans up for election all over the country. I mean, come on. Like, we could run. If you're not a complete idiot, get up and run.
Money for nothing and your chicks for free, my friend.
Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. You can check out the entire Civic Media's podcast library at civicmedia.us. This has been Luke and Brian. We'll be back Monday at 2. Talk to you then.
Grow a mustache.
Now, see here. I've taken all the verbal insults I intend.